I've been thinking for the last few weeks about just a little story in the Bible. You know, we can read those, and it takes just a minute or two to read the story. But then when we start looking at what all is involved in it, the story that I'm thinking about today is about the Ethiopian eunuch. It's found in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. But what I'm interested in is, it said he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And you remember on the day of Pentecost, it said there were so many people from so many nations that had come together, like 18 different tongues, different languages there, because people had come from so far away. You know, back then it was of a great value, probably kind of like Muslims today that would say, if we could just get to Mecca one time in my lifetime. People back then, if I can just go back to Jerusalem again. And that's what this Ethiopian eunuch had done. He had gone to Jerusalem. It was so valuable to him to get there to be able to worship. And in the commentary, it said what was happening at that time when he went to worship was it was the Passover. And he had gone to the Passover, and he was leaving there, going back home again. Now, it says that he was from Ethiopia, said he was a servant to Candace the Queen. Have you ever looked at a map of where Ethiopia is from Jerusalem? I looked it up. It says it's 2,000 miles away. Wherever he lived, probably some distance involved, some sacrifice made. It was very important for him to be able to meet that appointment, to be able to go. And so I thought, I've been thinking a little bit about what his experience might have been as he went to Jerusalem. It's important for me to remember this day, this Passover. Do you remember what that was from? That was an order from God from years and years before. And I'd like to take a look at that. What was the Passover anyhow? If we would go to the 12th chapter, remember there of Exodus, there had been many plagues that had been given to the Egyptians. There's one left. And God is telling them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put up a lamb and you feed it. Put it up on a certain day and you take care of it and you feed it for these days. And on this certain day, I want you to kill it. And I want you to put the blood on the post of your doors in front of your house. And that evening, I want you to stay in your house. Do not go outside. Because I'm going to come by. Let's just take a look at this in the 12th chapter. Because you're about to be delivered tonight, and I want you to be ready to go. But there's something you're going to have to exercise some care in first. Because in Exodus 12, and look at the, start with the 11th verse. Thus shall you eat it. It says you cook this, you roast this lamb that evening, you eat it, have your shoes on ready to go. It says with your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'm going to smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Look at that 13th verse. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And it says, I want this to be a memorial. Look in the 14th verse. This day shall be unto you for a memorial. Keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So I was thinking about this. A lot of years had passed, and one day we see in Matthew 26 and 17 where Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to go into the city, and you're going to find a man there, I think, carrying a pot. And you just ask him, where can we meet together for the Passover? So Jesus was going to, in fact, let's just go there for just a little bit. Matthew, because Jesus himself was observing this same requirement that was on them. But what I'm interested in today, Jesus knew there was going to be a change. Look in 26 and 17 of the book of Matthew. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he told them about going in. And this is where they had the cup and had the bread and all of them together just before Judas left to betray him. So here Jesus is observing that rule there. Well, time has passed now. Jesus is dead. And we read over here in Acts where now this is still being observed. This eunuch from Ethiopia has come. Let's take a look now at it in Acts 8 and 30. This is where Philip meets him. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the book of Isaiah, and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from him?" And the eunuch is wondering, now who's this talking about? "I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of some other man?" And I like this next verse, 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You know, you just came from the Passover where you're remembering what was done years and years ago in Egypt. And now there was some prophecy that you're reading here. "Led as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." And Philip starts teaching him about the lamb that was slain, to where now it's no longer going back to the time in Egypt, but now we can look to Christ shedding his blood for us. And that's what I'm interested in today. You know, the eunuch had been in Jerusalem and he didn't hear anything about Jesus. They were still initiating the old Passover from way back there. But here Jesus comes along, gives some direction for how Philip is to meet up with the eunuch and instruct him. And the timing was just right for the eunuch to receive it. But what I'm thinking about is, what has it meant for us? You know, light was opened to the eunuch about Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus and how he died for us. And I'd like to look at some verses. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And here it says, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." He is now our Passover. If his blood has been applied to the doorpost of my heart, then I can make heaven my home in the end. And I want to be so thankful for that. Because you know what? Part of the eunuch's worship when he went to Jerusalem was probably that. Having a lamb slain, going through those rituals, recognizing what God had done way back there in Egypt. And now he is taught, he is preached unto him, Jesus. We now have moved to a different place. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Remember over in Revelations, it talks about he was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's hard for us to understand. Way back there at the beginning, before even Adam and Eve, there was a plan put in place that there could be a sacrifice made for us to be able to have our sins taken care of, for there to be a Passover so that we don't have to die eternally. Have you ever thought about the difference of what we have today of being acceptable to the Lord and what it was in the Old Testament. What if we were still in the Old Testament to where you cannot help but sin through the year? You will take this sacrifice and offer it, and it will atone for the sins that you have committed. I'd like to look at a verse in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, because I'd like for us, just like the eunuch, his eyes were open, I would like for us not to forget what has been done for us, what has been made available for us. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the first verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But it says in the third verse, in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So if we were in the Old Testament, next year you're going to need to come back and offer sacrifices again. Each year you'll continue to do it. But here, I have to say to myself, do I recognize the value of the sacrifice that Jesus made? You know, sometimes I can think about this, okay, once a year we need to talk about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. You know, throughout the year, I need to be thanking God. For God so loved the world that he sent, but also thanking Jesus that he was willing to be sent. Because if I lived back in those times, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would take away my sins. They would just be covered for another year until I offer another sacrifice. But look at the sixth verse of that. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst not pleasure. And it says, ninth verse, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He takes away this old law of offering sacrifices because he's got a new plan for us. And I am very thankful for that. There's a song that we sing, Jesus Paid It All, and it doesn't end there. It says, because he paid it all to him I owe. And in that 10th chapter, and in the 10th through the 12th, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know what? I am so thankful, and I want to be reminded of it daily through the year, not just at Easter time, but throughout the year, to realize this sacrifice helps me to not have to be going back, offering again for it. So when I look at this in the 1 Corinthians in the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So he is now that Passover that we would not have to. You think even the people, the Israelites that did not obey that commandment and have the blood on the doorpost, their firstborn would have died at that time. I'm thinking this morning of a song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It says, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. You know, I need to, in the days that we're living in right now, I need to go back to God, thanking him for sending his son. Thanking Christ for being willing to be the sacrifice one time for me, to where I don't have to continually go back. You know, we're living in a time where the Christian world around us says it's like the Old Testament. You're going to have to continually go back and make sacrifices for your sins. Christ has come to make that atonement one time for us. It says, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. May I go through the year, not just at Easter time, but so thankful that he was willing to sacrifice himself for me. And because of that, I need to renew this vow often. It's in a verse of a song. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. That by looking at that sacrifice that he gave, I will say I want to give myself back to him. So I was looking at Philippians, the second chapter, and in the 8th verse, this is a picture of Jesus. 7th verse, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But it didn't end there. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you know, we read those verses, it almost looks like it's an option. If you want to bow your knee, you should. You should confess with your tongue. But you know, there's another verse that I want to look at while we're on that verse there. And that's in Romans. Romans, the 14th chapter. Because there it says should, but it gets down closer than that in the book of Romans. Romans 14 and 11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So the one place looks like it'd be a good thing if you would do it. But another one says everyone will one day do it. It said God hath highly exalted him. I was looking at a verse over in Psalms 24. Psalms 24 and 7. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. O be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and I am very thankful for that. There's a verse over in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. Very small verse, but very important. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The gift that he has given when Jesus was sacrificed that day and his blood was shed, that I can, the Passover now is my remembrance of when Jesus died. So what does it say about Philip? He preached unto the eunuch Jesus. And you know, when we think about baptism, you remember where the eunuch, as he's explaining it to him somewhere, he must have told him what baptism, the value of it. Because what the eunuch say? Hey, here's some water right here. What hinders me from being baptized? You know what baptism was there? Was as you receive the instruction and you say, I follow this. I want to follow this teaching right here. And he was baptized. So I'm looking at this unspeakable gift. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. You know, I'm thinking of that verse. I need to be real careful that I always remember it is a gift from God. In Galatians, it's in Ephesians 2 and 8. Let's look at that because I want to be reminded of this. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a gift that has been given to us. You know, as he preached Jesus, I'm thinking today about a bumper sticker that I see sometimes. It says coexist. And it has all the symbols of different beliefs. And at the end of it is a T for the cross of Christ. So let's all just get along together and follow the one that we want to follow. But there is a verse that we need to remember in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know, it says, not by works, lest any man should boast. You know what? There's not salvation in my good works by themselves either. Salvation comes from Jesus himself. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must remember that. You know, that's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's that blood that was shed that is my atonement for sins. Other foundation can no man lay. I won't be able to do it by good works that I do. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and I am thankful for that. So Philip, when he went to meet up with the eunuch, he came from preaching at Samaria. You remember when Jesus went through Samaria and he met the woman at the well? And she was saying, we say that in this mountain is the place to worship. You say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. And he said, the hour is coming when it won't be here or there. The Lord's seeking some spiritual worship. And I believe we are at that place today. He seeketh such to worship him. I am very thankful that in this time, you know, we can still be look back to the old Passover and thankful for the what God did for the children of Israel, delivering them. But it was a type moving way on down toward Jesus' blood put on the doorpost of my heart will cause the death angel where I'm lost forever to go by. I am thankful for that. You know, Jesus said, because of that, with that sacrifice, he said in John 12 and 32, 32nd verse, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So, you know, he was able to see the value of hanging on the cross and dying. If I be lifted up from the earth, the ability is there for every person to be saved. Are they all saved? This one says, I'll draw all men unto me. Have all men been drawn to him? His desire is that it is so. I am thankful for that. His desire is that I would be drawn to him. So throughout my life, I don't want to wait for Easter to come to be thankful for the Passover. I am thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, that it has not lost any of its power. No matter how wicked the world becomes, we can still live righteously, godly in this present world because of the sacrifice that he made. I am very thankful for that. There's a song that we sing, number 264. I'd like for us to sing that in closing. It starts out with, I ought to love my Savior, and I'm looking at all the reasons that I ought to. And then at the very last of it says, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of thy soul? So like it said before, every knee should bow Well, every knee would bow, but it will bow one day. But you know what? I want to do it throughout my life. Bow before the Lord, thanking Him for the sacrifice that He made, that I don't have to offer a lamb in remembrance on the Passover weekend, a lamb to remember what happened back in Egypt, but I can remember the Passover that was made for me, that I can be saved from sin, that I can make heaven my home. I am very thankful for that.